Let's pray.
Our Father, thank you for giving us such a beautiful day. Thank you for everyone here. I pray that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. How do you know if you're loved? That's a good question, isn't it? How do I know if I'm loved? I remember having a friend of mine talking about this girl he really cared about, and she broke up with him. And here's what she said: I love you too much to be with you. And so I asked a question, and you believe that? But, you know, that sounded so American, so, you know, so proper. I mean, this is relationships, man. And it's like, oh, my goodness. But sometimes we wonder, how do I know if I'm loved? Someone comes and gives you a kiss. Well, they must love you. Or maybe they don't. How many people have been taken advantage of? I think guys and girls, by signs of affection, only to get something they wanted and then to drop the person later. Because they got the sexual favor they wanted, but it was all sounded great. How do you know if you're loved? How do you know that? It's more than just an act, isn't it? Something else has to be involved. Because anybody can fake an act. Next Sunday, the world celebrates Easter. We'll celebrate Easter, and technically, that'll be the day that the resurrection of Jesus appeared. We got it synchronized with the Passover. You know, somewhere back in time, one of the popes decided, hey, let's put Easter this way, more in a, you know, covering a pagan holiday or something. So sometimes it doesn't coincide with Passover, but this time it does. So, technically, in a week, it will be the resurrection day that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We will talk about the resurrection at that point, but I want you to consider what happened 2,000 years ago, a week before the resurrection. And more importantly, I want you to think about two acts of love. But you've got to ask yourself, was it really love? Act number one in Luke chapter 22. Jesus has gone to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And in verse 47 it says, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? An act of love, right? A kiss. An act of love. And so Jesus asked him, so you're betraying me with a kiss. You're betraying me with a sign that ought to mean affection, commitment, solidarity. And that's why in Western culture, where Christianity is prevalent, nobody names their son Judas. That's not a name you choose. You know why? The betrayer. It wasn't a guy just kind of slipped, oh, I kind of made a mistake. He got money for this. 30 pieces of silver to do this. It was advantageous. He got something. And he goes up and betrays him with a sign of love, a kiss. We read on. Within a day later, in Luke 23, another act of love. Verse 32, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, where they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was written a notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Another act of love. But what's the difference with this one? You see, this one was genuine because this was an act that involved sacrifice. This was an act in which, in order to show love, Jesus took of himself and poured out his very life. Judas was a sign. Jesus was a sacrifice. That's the difference. How do you know if you are loved? If you have been sacrificed for. Then you know you're loved. Anybody can give you a sign. Anybody can go, "Hey, how you doing? You know, everything good and all that." That's just being civil, but that's self-serving. But it's when you pour something out of yours, very dear, yourself, your energy, your resources, your talents, your ability. Once you take that and give to another, now we're walking the real path of love. A kiss and a cross. Which do you want? I know what I want. I definitely want the cross. I don't want that kiss. I don't want that Judas kiss. I would hate for God to ever look at me and somehow just, "Oh, you're a good boy," or something like that, and not mean it. And there'd be some ulterior motive. Boy, I would hate that. But you see, I don't get that. You don't get that. Why? Because on that hill, he gave everything he had. God gave that which was nearest to his heart, himself, in the form of a son for you and for me. It was not a mere kiss. It was a total outpouring. Now, you know what? Let me just talk to those of us that are Christians here. I know some of us are visiting, and man, so happy to have you. You keep coming. I want to talk, though, to those of us that are Christians. Last week, I posed a question, are you in or are you out? I pose that question not because that's my question. That's Jesus' question. Through all of the healings, through all of the good, through all of the things he did, by the time he gets to Luke 14, it's are you in or are you out? If you don't love me with everything you have, you are, and you hope to be, can't be my disciple. Be honest. Do something else. You cannot be my disciple. I know some people that hit a raw nerve. I am so happy that hit a raw nerve. I hope I hit another one today. Okay? Some people were asked, "So what'd you think?" And they rebuffed the person asking them. That's supposed to be a Christian. I understand someone that's not a Christian, hey, rebuff everything. You know, it's You got to live your life. But I'm a Christian. Oh, no, no, no. You don't rebuff. You need to ask yourself, am I in or am I out? So today, what I would like to ask, following up with that, is a kiss or a cross. What are you going to give back to God? You know what Paul said when it came to the cross of Christ? In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, he said, the love of Christ compels us. Compels us. Because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. Those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. The cross means that you and I don't live for ourselves anymore. This is not my ministry, it's Christ's ministry. This is not my life, it's Christ's life. I live for him, you live for him. If the cross means anything in your life, if you've embraced the cross, you no longer live. Paul would also say in Galatians 2:20, he would say, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I lived in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live. Brothers and sisters, some of us in here are living for ourselves. We claim the cross, but what we're really doing is a kiss. We come here on a Sunday as a kiss. It's a sign. It's not a sacrifice. It's a sign. You got to understand, that was the thing that was so startling to Jesus. God, at least Judas should have come in there. I hate you, Jesus. I made a transaction. That's the guy. Do it. How, he kissed him. How can you imagine how that must have felt? God feels the same way. God doesn't judge us by our grasp. He judges us by our reach. We are all imperfect. We all fall. We all do this. But that is not a statement defining our life in light of the cross. The cross of Christ means God loved me so much. I belong to him. Sin was so bad. That's what had to happen. That's the only way it could be forgiven. Isn't it interesting when you go back to Calvary, the groups of people and what they were saying to Jesus? You had the leaders going, save yourself. You had the Roman soldiers going, save yourself. And you had one of the criminals go, save yourself. And you know what the wild thing about it is? He could have saved himself. He could have said one word and there'd be no more opposition, and that's Michael. Oh, yeah. Who is Michael? The archangel. One angel took out all of the firstborn of Egypt. One angel. Jesus would make a statement, oh, I could have six legions of angels. I mean, that's like over, you know. It's like ridiculous. At any point, he could have said Michael, and it's over, and Sheridan Wright would have no hope. Sheridan Wright could live his life the way he wanted to without anything. Purely selfish. I'll take advantage of anyone, any time, any whatever. I'd have my time, my schedule, my job, my family, my this. Ah, but Jesus didn't do that. Because he loves me, and it was the only way I could be forgiven of all my sins and come to God. So guess what? It's Jesus' life, Jesus' family, Jesus' job, Jesus' goal, Jesus, the love, it compels me. I no longer live. I don't have to. I want to. He loves me that much. But that's the difference between someone, the kiss and the cross. Is you really living for him, or it's just a sign? Sometimes we give Judas a really bad time, and rightly so. Consider this. He held out for 30 pieces of silver. I've seen people sell Jesus for a lot less than 30 pieces of silver. Too lazy, too afraid, too self-absorbed, to whatever, and they just sell him. They sell him. So here's what I want us to do here. I want us to consider, if the cross is really having an impact in our life, if I'm truly living for Jesus, how will I know that? Because I want to know that I'm truly loved, and I see that in the sacrifice of Christ. So how am I going to know if I truly love God? Fair enough question? There's a lot of ways. But let me just start off with this. Number one, it'll come down to how consistently I'm reading my Bible and studying that. Now you say, that's ridiculous. Why? No, I want to listen to the person I love. I love my wife. If she wants to talk to me, I don't go, oh, come on, man. You know, I have dinner with you. You know? I mean, that's a sign of love, isn't it? I'm at the table. I'm here. See, I'm giving her a sign, right? It's not a sacrifice. But when I like, boy, she is worth listening. What do you want? What do you want? I want to listen. I want to know what she thinks. I want to know her input. I care. I love her. I want to do it. I'm supposed to be a Christian, but I can't be consistent in reading the scriptures. There was a time when the early church didn't have scriptures. You know what they had to do? Memorize it. Memorize it. That's what they had to do. But they loved them enough, that's what they do. And they would hold on to that in a week, then they'd get together and encourage each other with the writings of the Lord. You and I have this printed, the most printed thing in modern times, and we can't be consistent. It's because we don't want to. And then you got to ask, am I really a Christian? Because a Christian gets their direction from God. A Christian wants God to speak to them. A Christian craves to know what is the will of God. Why? Because I'm living for God. I no longer live for myself. I live for Him. And so that's the first thing. How do I know if I really love God? Hey, I'm going to be consistent. Well, Sheridan, do you read for hours? It's not about how much you read. It's just the content. Where do you want the revelation from? Well, God will lead me. If you're deliberately not listening to Him, how's He going to do that? How's He going to do that? No, that's one way. Second way is if we think that there are fruits of the Spirit rather than fruit of the Spirit. Look over in Galatians 5. What would you think if your child came home to you and said, Mom, Dad, I'm a good student. Really? That's great. That's awesome. I got my report card. Great. Good for you. And I got an A in math. Oh, awesome. What a great student. So how'd you do in English, history, geography, and PE? Oh, I flunked them all. But I'm a good student. You would sit there and say, whoa, 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 let's push the rewind on this a little bit. Let's have a little talk. Amen, you did great in math. And if I ever need to make sure how many fingers and toes I have, you're the one I need to come to. But what happened? You're not a good student if you flunk everything else. Great, you did one, but you flunk. You can't say I'm a good student. The best you could say is I do good in math. Sometimes we say, I'm a Christian because, and we pick out these different things that are the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those aren't fruits, plural. Those are fruit. What does that mean? If the Holy Spirit is in you and living in your life, you exhibit all of them. Oh, you're not perfect in them all. You're growing. It's just like 2 Peter 1. Remember, he says, you keep adding. Yeah, we don't attain, but doggone, there we got them. There's elements of patience and elements of kindness and elements of love and elements of that in my life. And my Christian life, as I walk and spend time with God and His body, is about growing in that. But it's not like I have one and I'm not doing good in all the other. It isn't fruit. It is fruit. And something is not right if that happens. Why? Why? We end up coming to church as a kiss, as a sign, but it's not a sacrifice. It's not love for God. Thirdly, us. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love for one another." You know, one of the greatest challenges that we have in getting the gospel out in the world sometimes is ourselves. Any person that comes and is around any of us for a while, I know we can all put on a good show, I understand that. But for a while, they ought to see something divine. They ought to see imperfect people with challenges, with life's things, all that, but love each other. That's supposed to be a witness to the world. But when people refuse to get together, when people refuse to be the body of Christ, when people let their past dictate where they are now, guess what? It's not love for God. The most this could be is a sign, but not a sacrifice. I want to say something about our past with this. Sometimes, well, I'm not close because of my past. Some people have had horrendous pasts. Sexual abuse, physical abuse, things like that, that are horrendous. I want to tell you something about that. That is not your fault at all. That is other people's fault. And if you ever have felt any response, that is not your fault. And you need to take that off of you, and you need maybe to have some counseling to help you take that off. It's not your fault what they did. I'm going to say this too, and that will not go unaccounted for by God. God Himself will take all of that into account, and unless those people or person repents, there is no escape. There is no escape. Justice will be done. So, take that. That's not your fault. Now, today, the way you are, that is your fault. That is your fault. That's your responsibility. What happened in the past? Not yours. That what you do with that today, the steps you take to heal, the steps, the openness, the, you know what, God helped me change, getting help, doing all of that, that is totally you and totally me. I can tell you a lot of things about my past that should hinder me and do hinder me at times, but it's never an excuse. It is my fault if I don't take the steps necessary to follow Jesus right now. I cannot let my past be an excuse why I'm not connective and loving. And let me tell you this, I can't let my past that's been good. Well, I've been committed before. I did all of this before. Sometimes people say this, they kind of nod, yeah, yeah, I've been there before. Why aren't you here now? Why aren't you doing that now? I did things in the past before, so what? Doesn't matter. What does that mean for right now? Well, but I've tried and I didn't. No, God is still God. I need to be as zealous now as I was the day I was baptized. And if I'm not, that's on me. Something's wrong. I need help. I need somebody to help me. Because God is that powerful. God is that good. Jesus is that right. And the love of Christ is compelling me. I no longer live for myself. So do we love one another? Will we come together? Will we be open? Will we actually be the body of Christ? Where we're supposed to have relationships that are open with each other and help each other be like Christ. This is not a self-improvement program. It's the body of Christ. Or do we end up coming to church? It's a kiss to Jesus. but it's not a sacrifice. We don't want that at all. I want us to stop and think about right now. If I were to say, I want to live for Christ, what would that mean change-wise? Is there anybody you hold anything against? There's no excuse for it. In the kingdom of God. Now, outside, if you're not a Christian, I understand. You've got a choice. Here, there's no excuse. If you are here just to get, I'm just coming to get, then that's just like, that's a Judas kiss. If you're not here to learn how to give, and I'm not just talking about money, I'm just talking about yourself, your talents, your abilities, your energy, how to be like Christ. That's where we come together. But sometimes people just come, they just want to get. And if things don't go their way, it's like, oh my goodness. And let me challenge us on the last thing here before we close it. Kiss or a cross? What's our attitude toward materialism? Did you know that things aren't bad? Did you know that money's not bad? Did you know that having things is not bad? Having money's not bad. So what's the deal with materialism? Materialism is when things and or money and or reputation is God. And that's what you live for. You know, it's an interesting thing. If you look at the history of painkillers, you know, the oxycodones, things like that. Why did those come about? They came about when people were in a lot of pain from surgery, devastating. So let's do something good. Let's help this person heal. Isn't that great? It's great. And now we have a nation of a bunch of people dying from it. How did that happen? Because something good can become something bad if it's used wrong. All of you disciples that were born outside of the United States, you moved here. How are you with materialism? Some of you came from places there wasn't anything. Now you're in a cat in an ocean of milk, and you've lost your heart. You've lost your soul. That's the American dream is what governs you. And church becomes a way to kiss, but it doesn't become a sacrifice. Do you understand what's really important? You lost it. Those of us born in America, we're born in this milk. Oh my goodness. Have you ever tried to talk to a drug addict who's under the influence? They actually think they're right. They do. And you try and reason with them and things like that. They think they're high as a kite. Yeah, man, I see everything. Yeah, this is what we got to do. And they're sincere, and that's us with materialism, with things. What really excites us are things, and God will come give them a kiss on Sunday. What really excites me is my career, not like here's an opportunity, the kingdom of God will advance. What really excites me is people respecting me, not me walking with God the Almighty, following Jesus, enjoying that. All of this, you see, if that's not the reason and how we look at things and how we look at money and how we look at that, then look, these are tools, these can be blessings, amen, but it is God that's my treasure. It is Christ that is my jewel and my life. My schedule, my everything revolves around that. And everything about what I do is about, Lord God, may your will be done here as it is in heaven. Last time you studied the Bible with someone. Oh, it's been a while. You know why that is? You don't want to. That's why. Last time you had discipling. Well, it's been a while because I got hurt. No, you don't want to. You don't want to open. You don't want to hear anything else. You don't want to study. You don't want to pray together. And so here's what I want us to ask ourselves. What do we do when we come here? Is it a kiss or is it a sacrifice? I want it to be a sacrifice. I want it to be, we are here because God so loved us, he gave his one only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But if that's not what we're doing, then guess what? We end up with just a kiss. And God is saying, why? Why sing? Why pray? Why come? Is there another agenda? My dream for all of us, brothers and sisters, is that we walk with God. We follow in the steps of Jesus. We need a lot of mercy. We need a lot of forgiveness. Everything that I'm talking to you about, I first talk to me about. And I pray, God, let me not talk about some, or let me go ahead and talk about something that I need to repent of and just make sure I do it publicly. But here's the thing, folks. We wear the name of Christ. This world has seen enough hypocrisy and enough stuff done in his name. They don't need anyone else to add anything else. We come in there with all of our imperfections, with all of our weirdness, with all of that, doesn't matter. But people will look at us and say, you know what? That person, they're trying. What makes them try? Why do they do this? Why do they reach out? Why do they invite me to something? They get together with some of their people and they pray at a lunchtime? Why do they do it? It's kind of weird, man. Why? At least one thing they'll know. We are trying, we are sincere, and you know what? We're in love. Because the one that died for us gave his all. How can we not give our all in return? Kiss or a cross? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your incredible love. And Lord, there are times we can say that. There are times that we can mouth it. I know I've talked about your love before, and it just kind of bounced off because I really didn't want to stop and take that time to think about that and to meditate on it. Father, you've done so much for me. You've cleaned my past. You've empowered my present. And you've brightened my future. And not because I'm good, just that's who you are. And you've done that for all of us here. Father, please help our hearts to melt. Please help us do what we do because we love you. Please help us to reconcile with you and reconcile with one another. If there's anything that needs to be talked about, God, help us to do that. But most importantly, Father, help us to worship you and serve you so that this world will know that you are alive and that you are wanting them to come home. We give ourselves to you, Father, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. The singers will come, and then after this song, you guys can go and get your children.